Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In 1989, on my fifth Sunday in the pulpit in my church in San Francisco, as a recently ordained, fresh out of the seminary young pastor, I was preaching on the words of St. Paul in 2 Timothy 4, where he writes this: "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." That was my text for the day. And these are some of the words that I wrote in my sermon, and I quote: "Paul warned Timothy that the time was coming when people would not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they would accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings and would turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. And unfortunately for us, that time is already here. Holy Scripture is no longer the sole source and norm of our theology, but it has become, for many, only another alternative. We hear Christian people saying that abortion is your choice, or that there's nothing sinful about the gay lifestyle, or that premarital sex and extramarital sex is all right." End quote. I went on in that sermon to talk about how many Christians don't even believe in the story of Jonah anymore, or creation, or in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, and so on and so forth. When the sermon was ended, it was time to sing our next hymn. But the organist was not up in the balcony. And so we went on and sang the hymn a cappella. And then it came time for the offertory. And the organist was still MIA. So we went on with the service without him. And when it came time for the final hymn, the organist was still nowhere to be found. And so we concluded the worship service without any music. I had no idea what had happened to our organist, but I would soon find out, as one of the members after worship informed me that our organist was gay. And I would find out more as the week wore on, when all of the members of the congregation received a letter of resignation from the organist, because he refused to work with this bigoted pastor, namely me. It was a tough way to enter into the ministry. Just 5 weeks as a pastor, and I had already had lost an organist and had been publicly labeled a bigot. I felt bad about offending the organist, but as I reflected on my message and as I pored over the words that I had written, I became more and more convinced that I had not preached improperly, I did not single out the gay lifestyle as being any worse than any other sin. I simply listed it among a whole list of things that people might be wrestling with in their lives. What I said was an accurate exposition of God's word. I spoke truth. And I would have been remiss in my calling as a preacher of God's word if I would have refrained from my comments because I was afraid that someone might get offended. A pastor's calling always has been and always will be to preach the word, to be prepared in season and out of season, to correct, to rebuke, and to encourage with great patience and careful instruction. In our gospel reading today, Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will free you." It is our God-ordained calling and duty to preach the word of God in all of its truth, regardless of how that truth is received. Because only the truth of God's word can free us from the chains of sin and deceit that bind us to the death and the destruction of this world. And thus, while the temptation is always there for us as preachers to avoid the tough subjects and to refrain from speaking of specific sins to which members of the congregation might take offense, to do so would be to offend God and to disobey God, and also to endanger our walk with God. Woe to the pastor who preaches what is popular instead of what is true. Such a person is no better and no different than the false prophets that the scriptures warn us about. And thus, when Martin Luther was threatened with excommunication from the Roman Church if he would not recant the statements against the practices of the Catholic Church, Luther responded by saying those famous words, "Unless I am convinced by the testimony of the Scriptures or by clear reason, I am bound by the scriptures that I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything. May God help me." Amen. We're living in a time and in a country in which both Christians and non-Christians alike have been seduced by the lies of Satan. I was labeled as a bigot by one person of the congregation 27 years ago because I stated that the gay lifestyle is an offense to God. But if I were to make that same statement today, my guess is that many of the people in the congregation would think of me as somewhat bigoted and just plain out of touch. In that same sermon, I mentioned that sex outside the covenant of marriage is sinful. But today that practice is so pervasive, even among Christians, that one is considered to be an uninformed and outdated relic to even suggest such a thing. St. Paul wrote in Timothy, "The time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." If what I say offends you, and what I say is not the clear and historical teachings of the Scriptures, then by all means, call me on it. Confront me. Put me in my place. But if my words offend you, because you are living counter to God's Word and in opposition to His laws, then your argument is not with me, but with God. Jesus said that if we continued in His Word, that we would know the truth, and that the truth would set us free. For you see, to know Jesus' Word is to know Jesus, is to know truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the living Word of God. Only He can set us free from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Because only He went to a cross to pay for our sins. And only He rose from a grave to give us the gift of everlasting life. And thus the only freedom that we can ever have is the freedom that arises from Him and from His forgiveness. Denying sin and relabeling sin does not change the character nor the consequences of sin. Calling a lime an apple does not suddenly make it taste sweet. Putting lipstick on a pig does not make that swine marriage material. And seeking out preachers who justify our sin, whatever those sins are, will not put us right with God. The only thing that can put us right with God is the forgiveness that Jesus won for us by dying for us on a cross. And the only way that forgiveness can be received by us is through faith. A faith which confesses one's own sin and then which works to turn away from that sin. But seeking out preachers who okay sin or who simply call it by another name so that we can make it acceptable will never get us into heaven. It's the truth of God's Word and the truth of God's forgiveness and the truth of God's Son, Jesus, which get us into heaven. And it's those truths and those truths alone which set us free. May we thus hold to Jesus' teachings. And may we seek out and listen to only those preachers who teach the truths of those teachings, that we might be forever free and forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior, amen.